Lekuta Sicha is Chelek Yud, Parsha Vayetze, Sicha Beis. Ba Pasuk Vatar Leia Vatelet Beima Tigrish May Ruven. In the Pasuk, and Leia became pregnant, she gave birth to a son, and she called his name Ruven, Ki Amra, because she said, Ki Ra Hashem Ba'ani, because Hashem saw in my pain, Ki Ata Yevani Ishi, now my husband will love me. Matik Rashi, Vatikrish Shmei Reuven. Rashi quotes the words from the Pasuk, and she called his name Reuven. Mefarish and explains. Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, our sages have taught us that Amra, she said, Re'u ma bein b'ni lebein chami. See the difference between my son and the son of my father-in-law. Shemachar Rabbechera liYaakov, my father-in-law, meaning Yitzchak, his son was Esav. So he sold my father-in-law's son Esav. He sold his firstborn rights to Yaakov. But this, my son Reuven, he did not sell his firstborn rights to Yosef. He didn't complain about it when it was taken away from him and given to Yosef. Not only did he not complain or have hold it against Yosef, when the time came when he had to save his life and take him out of the pit in which his brothers threw him, he stuck up for Yosef and he saved his life. Not only did he not hold it against him that the firstborn rights were taken away from Reuven and given to Yosef, but he even defended him. The Tzarech Lahavin, so we have to understand about this. Aleph, first of all, Rashi, Haidia, Klal Yisaydi B'Pirushi. Rashi gave us a basic rule of his commentary. Ani loy basi lefarish ela pshudish l'mikra. That rule is, I have not come to explain anything other than the simple meaning of the psukim. Haynu shekavanasi lefarish elevay rak dover she'enu muvenu muzver kol tzarkei b'pshat haksuvim. That Rashi only comes to explain something which is not understood or understood enough in the psukim, and therefore he needs to explain it. So therefore, what is the difficulty over here in this pasuk? That Rashi needs to explain. The pasuk simply says that Leia called his name Reuven because Hashem saw my pain. Now my husband will love me. So why does he have to give this whole drasha about the difference between Reuven and Esav and so on? What is not understood about these words that Rashi needs to explain? Beis Yisaidim is even more so. Rashi mefarash hatam l'kriyas shem Reuven. Shatam l'kriyas shem Reuven. Rashi's explanation for the reason why Leia named him Reuven, whom shum sha'am re'uma bein b'ni, see the difference between my son and so Reuven, see my son, how he's different. Heipach pshuto shel mikra. This goes against what the simple meaning of the pasuk is, because the pasuk actually gives a reason. Vatikra shmei Reuven. The pasuk actually spells out the reason why she called him Reuven. Ki ra Hashem ba'anyi, because Reuven is from Hashem saw my pain. Ki ata yevani ishi. So Rashi goes away from, it seems Rashi goes away from the meaning that Leah gives in the pasuk and gives another explanation of why she called him Reuven. Even though it's true that what Rashi said, this drasha about the difference between Esav and Reuven comes from the Gemara. We know the rule that Rashi takes in his commentary, and he repeated it a number of times, this rule. I come only to explain the simple meaning of the pasuk. That's the only thing I'm trying to do. Or, if there is a drasha, an agada, which explains the psukim, which explains this, the meaning, the simple meaning of the psukim, each matter according to how it needs to be understood. That's Rashi's rule. There has to be a reason why Rashi needs to explain something according to the Medrash. And the explanation that he gives from the Medrash has to be, or from the Gemara, has to be organized, arranged, and meaningful within the context of the psukim, shalamikra, of the pasuk. So therefore, in this case, what exactly is it about this agada, this gemara, which is so essential and works so well with the psukim when it seems to go against the psukim? Beis, v'hine yesh mefarshim, there are those who want to explain the tam hamefurish b'kra kira Hashem ba'ani, that the reason given in the pasuk was Hashem saw my pain, as Leah said, eina maspik, is not enough of a reason. Ki bazeh muzbarak chelik mishem ru'uvein, tevas ru'u shabai, because from the name Ru'uvein, ra'a fits with the part of this of the name ru'u. So it explains only that, avaloi ben shabai, but it doesn't explain why the name ben was added to ru'u. So why was it called Ru'uvein? Valkein Dorshu Rabbeinu Oitam, and therefore they give another reason why it was called Ruvin Shamru Ru'u Ma Bein Bni. In other words, see my son. Ru'uvein means see my son. Which in the first pshat, in the from the pasuk, it doesn't say. It just says Ra Hashem Ba'ani, Ra'a. So the only name, the part of the name Ru'uvein is only Ra, but the Bein is unexplained. So they explain another reason, which also includes the part of the name Bain, as Ru'uvein, see the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. Shein yonai merubas v'shem Ruben kulei, in this pshat, the entire name Ru'uvein is explained by the reason. So that's how they explain it. Rabbi b'firush Rashi yefshel b'farish kein, but you can't say that that's what Rashi's approach is, because because if this was the reason that Rashi has to bring another pshat for why she called him Ruvain, al shem Ruvain ma'am furish b'kra, different than what's explained in the pasuk, that's something that Rashi certainly should have pointed out, that there's a reason why he's going away from the simple meaning of the pasuk and going for another pshat. And the truth is that in the simple meaning of the pasuk, there is no question why only Ru'u is understood from the reason of the that she gives in the pasuk. Because you could explain in the pasuk that the letters Bain, which are in the name Ruvin, Ramzes le habez v'hanun shel ba'anyi, that from the word ba'anyi, ru'u, ra, Hashem ba'anyi, Hashem saw my pain, ba'anyi, so the beis and the nun of that are what Ru'uvein is about. Ba'av shebashem Ru'uvein ein bay ha'ayin v'hayud shol ba'anyi, and even though she didn't include the ayin and the yud from the word ba'anyi in his name, in the name Ru'uvein, v'gam nikud ha'beis hu be'oifen achar, and also the vowel of the word of the beis, Ru'uvein, over there it's bi, and here it's a tzere, here it's a shva. Harei kvar lomanu k'yotze b'mokam achar b'pirush Rashi. We've already seen something similar in Rashi, that he says all the way in the beginning in Bereishis Shamayim, he explains the word Shamayim, which means the sky. Hu rashatevis sa mayim, that it's a compendium, it's a two words put it's a word put together from two words, it carries the water, shamayim, that is where the water is, or eshamayim, it's put together from the words eshamayim, fire and water. So if Rashi says that the word shamayim could be put together from esh and mayim, avsha ha'alav shal sa v'shal or saw mayim, which carries water, or eshu mayim, the aleph over there, lesser b'teva shemayim, is also not found in the word shemayim. V'gam nikud ashin shel esh hu ba'ofen achar, and if you're going with the eshu mayim, so the shin of esh has no vowel, whereas the in shemayim it has comets. So again, the voweling is different. El shadaylon ba'esh shin shel shemayim, but so Rashi seems to accept that in just like over there in Shamayim, the fact that the letter is there, even though not every part of the name fits perfectly with the word that it's put together from, it's still okay. ובפרט שאוי זה זו היא המורגשת בעיקר בביטוין של הטבע סוב האש, especially that it's the sin, the shin, which is the most dominant letter, that is, when you say the word, that's the letter that is most recognizable. Somayim or Eishomayim. So therefore, there is a movement, Gamma Nidin Tevis Ba'onyi, so therefore also in our case, in the words Ba'onyi, She Ha'oisius Beis V'Nun, which are the Bain, the letters of Beis and Nun from the word Ba'onyi, which are also what makes up the name Reuven, Heim Hamurgoshes Baba'ika, those are the ones that in the word Ba'onyi you feel those two letters the most. And therefore, those are the letters that she chose from the word Ba'onyi to be part of the name Reuven. And therefore it doesn't matter so much that the other two letters are not included in the name, because the two dominant letters of the word were included in the name Reuven. So therefore Ra Ba'onyi is very, very, fits very well with naming him Reuven. If so, so the question comes back, Pirush Shel Rashi Kan Lomalom, why do we need a pshat from Rashi here at all, when everything seems to flow well? And why does Rashi have to go away from the pshat in the pasuk, from the reason that the pasuk gives for giving the name Reuven, and come up with another explanation? Gam tzarech lahav, and we also have to understand another thing. Batam al shem sha'amru ru'u ma bein bni. In the reason that the Gemara gives, that Rashi gives, see the difference between my son and so on. Lama pirush Rashi b'pshat ha'kosu k'rabesena b'gemara, sha'hefresh b'in b'ni l'ben chomi hu b'zeh sha'ben chomi mochra ha'b'cheira b'zeh lo'y mochra v'lo'y irir olav v'lo'y edel sh'lo'y irir olav, etc. Rashi points out that the difference between Yosef and Esav is in the fact that Esav sold the b'cheira, and Yosef did not sell the Bechira. And not only that, he didn't sell it, he didn't complain when it was taken away from him, and not only that, but he also defended Yosef. So first of all, the question is, that is something which happened many, many years later, and she's giving a b'meila nevu'urachek, and therefore she's prophesizing about something, she's giving a name now about something that's going to happen many years later. So it's something in the distance, in the far distance. B'shaychus le'gnusei shel Reuven, and it points out, in fact, something derogatory about Reuven. Netilas ha'becheira me'ur Reuven ha'berchetei. She's pointing out now that in the future, and eventually, the firstborn rice will be taken away from Reuven. But he didn't complain, but she's still pointing out that it was taken away from him over a sin that he committed. And then she also brings out another thing, that Yosef was put into a pit, which is also not complimentary. It would be better if she could explain it about something that talks about the qualities of Reuven. In fact, something that happened even earlier than the events that she is talking about. She could have said, Ruma bein bni leben chomish v'gozel v'chomas. She could have pointed out that look at the difference between my son and Esav, that Esav, he steals and robs. V'ilu bni le'poshut yada v'gezel, but my son was careful not to do anything that would be considered stealing, as the Rashi explains, that when Reuven went during the time of the harvest of the wheat and he picked some flowers in the field for his mother, so Rashi says that he was careful not to take flowers which may have belonged to someone, or some other plant that may have belonged to someone. He took something that was hefker, that was ownerless. So she could have easily just said, Esav is a thief and a robber, as we know. And Reuven was careful about making sure not to steal anything. So why did she have to go to something, talk about a derogatory mention of Reuven? And it's also an earlier story. Why does she have to pass over the earlier story and go to the later story? Beis, gam bepirush shel Rashi gufa eina muvan. Even in the way Rashi explains it, we have to understand. Shetoichem pirush hu shenem apirush begemara. Rashi also changes it slightly from the way the Gemara explains it. Begemara isa the ilu ben chami afagav shemedaita zavne livcherusoi. In the Gemara it says that Esav, even though he sold the firstborn rights on his own, of his own free will, the chsiv, as it says in the pasuk, that he sold the rights, the chazu maksiv bei, and yet see what it says in the pasuk, even though he sold it without nobody forced him to sell it, and he sold it still, vayistem Esav es Yaakov, still he hated Yaakov for taking away his firstborn rights, even though he sold it to him. And he complained that he fooled me twice, as if Yaakov fooled him about the b'chayra. Ve'ilu b'ni, where is my son, meaning Reuven, avagavdal, korche shokli yesel b'chayra, even though the firstborn, the b'chayra, was taken away from him against his will, not that he sold it willingly, it was taken against his will, d'chsiv, as it says, that because he bilbil yitzuei abib, therefore it was taken away. Afilo hachi loy akne bei dechsiv, and even so, he wasn't jealous of Yosef, and he didn't complain, and so on. Hainu, in other words, shahefresh bein Esav l'Reuven hu, that the difference between Esav and Reuven, Esav sona es Yaakov avur abacheir sheuvra loy. Esav hated Yaakov before because of the bechira that was taken away from him and given to Yaakov. Afagav demedaita zavne le, even though in truth he sold it to him of his own free will. The Reuven loy akne be Yosef, whereas Reuven was not jealous of Yosef. That's how the Gemara explains it. Mashenkin lefi Rashi pirush Rashi, according to Rashi, toichen achilik b'neim hu, the difference between between Reuven and Esav is loy b'shaychas akine v'asine v'hedorim etzad avachayra. The difference is not about whether he was jealous and hated the one to whom the b'chayra was given, or if he wasn't jealous and didn't hate him. Rather, what is it according to Rashi ben Gei l'gufa mechira? That it was, the issue is about the sale itself. Shirak ze niska ben Gei l'ben chami. Rashi only mentions the fact that Esav sold the b'chayra, where the Gemara makes that sort of, even though he sold him the b'chayra on his own, he still hated him and was jealous of him. So the Gemara de-emphasizes the fact that he sold it, and he makes the issue that he hated him anyway. Whereas Rashi makes the only issue that he sold it to him. So in regards to Esav, Rashi only mentions one thing. He sold the b'chayra. And the Ilush or Reuven, then when it comes to pointing out that Reuven is so much better than him, Lumasa Yubazeshulay Machara b'chayra, is the fact that he did not sell the b'chayra. This is not something that is pointed out about Reuven at all. The Gemara doesn't mention anything about him not selling the b'chayra. So the Gemara, of course, mentions that it was taken away from Reuven against his will. It was just taken away from him. But the issue isn't about whether it was sold or taken away. The issue is, did he hate him for it or not? Even though Reuven may have had a better excuse to hate him, and he still didn't hate him. So that is the emphasis of the Gemara. Gimel, Rashi Moisif, Rashi adds another thing. V'lei irir olav, he didn't hold it against him. V'lei oichli irir olav, v'lishabikish leitzim in abayr, not only did he not hold it against him, but he also saved him from the pit. V'lechayr, it would seem that k'shem shehudgash b'negeilam alosah shol b'ni, just like Rashi is emphasizing the qualities of Reuven, that he didn't hold it against him and he saved him. Shahizah b'tachal satayv, in other words, that Reuven conducted himself in an absolutely menshlich way. K'may kein havalei lahaskir ba'greis shel ben chami, he should have been pointing out the opposite, the other side of the coin, by in regards to Esav. Sha'esav irir ala b'chayra, that Esav did hold it against Yaakov about the Bechira. Al derech ma de Isa b'Gemara now, as what the Gemara says, that he hated Yaakov. Not only did he hold it against him, but he wanted to kill him. So in other words, to show the contrast, Rashi doesn't point out the contrast. He mentions that Reuven behaved himself in a proper way in this way, but he doesn't mention the other side, that Esav, in these two things, conducted himself the exact opposite of Reuven. So why not? Bir b'cholze. So to explain all this, Hatam hamafurish b'kra l'kriya shmei shel Reuven, the reason that the pasuk gives for calling Reuven's name, ki ra'a Hashem ba'ani kata yevani ishi, b'chlal muvim b'pashtus, in a general sense we understand what it's saying, miteva b'nei adam sheilodos ben l'isha ma'ira b'bayla regesh olkira b'abi yaseide eleha, that when the nature is that when a woman has a man's child, there is a closer relationship that is developed between them because of this, the baby that was born. That would be understood, but in our case, there seems it's not so smooth. Why? Number one, hadgosha ki ata yevani ishi. Why did she say now my husband will love me? What does she mean to say by now, as opposed to before? Of course, humipnei shaleya hisasnua, because Leah was not the beloved wife as Rachel was. Vegamla achashenosal ishi, even after he married her, she was still not the beloved wife. V'im kenya tochen ki gam ata kishiyolda Leah ben Liakov. So therefore, it's quite possible that even now that she had a baby, it's quite possible la yishtana by hergishat kadekach sheyavani ishi. It's possible that he wouldn't change his feelings towards her to the opposite, that not only is she not hated, now she'll be loved. How does she know that that's going to happen? Especially that also Rachel, who was the main wife, Yaakov considered her the main wife. So she also asked the ben, she would also have a child. So therefore, why... Leah had a child, but Rachel will also have a child. So what makes Leah so certain that she's going to be changed from the despised wife to the beloved wife? So it's not so smooth. Number two, Menayin lo Leah shebeno zeh habacher yelich b'derech hatov v'yasher. How did she know that Reuven, he's just a baby? How does she know what he'll grow up to be, that he will be someone that his father is proud of? It's only a child that is deserving of Yaakov's love that would bring his feelings of love to Leah. It's possible that he'll grow up to be somebody who Yaakov is not proud of. Especially that in this case, the first son in the family of Yaakov was not always, it didn't always grow up to be the one that the father was proud of. Because we know the first son of Yitzchak, the oldest son, was Esav. The first son of his grandfather Avram was Yishmael. Both of them, both the firstborn sons over there, were not the ones that behaved properly. And such a son like Esav and Yishmael, not only will he not cause a closeness between the father and the mother of this baby, of the son, in fact, he could turn the father against the mother. You know, your son is this way. So in this case, it's even more particular that how did she know that he would be the son that the father would be proud of and therefore would bring a closer feeling of love between them. So therefore, because of these two, the facts that it's not so smooth to explain Leah's rationale that she knows that he's going to love her because of this, therefore Rashi says, Rabbi Shteinu Pirshu, that our sages explained something. She pointed out the difference between Esav and Reuven. that Esav sold his b'chayra to Yaakov, and my son Reuben didn't. Hainu, the zesha korolei Reuben metam ki omra ki ro Hashem ba'anyi. What he's trying to say is that the fact that she called Reuven because of the reason that the pasuk says, because now she'll now Hashem saw my pain and therefore my husband will love me. V'nos and loy ben b'yuv and al pizeh the rabbi sayin pirshu, to understand Leah's rationale and Leah's certainty that now Yaakov would love her over Reuven, to explain why she felt that way, we have to understand what the Chachamim, what our sages taught. Ki lulei zois, because without understanding what the sages taught about the difference between Reuven and Esav, eina muchach sh'ata yevani ishi. Leah had no right to be certain that Yaakov, that this would bring them together, her and Yaakov. Ki bo heilodos ben bovad, ein dai lo eret avos shol Yaakov uLeah, because just by the very fact that she had a son, that isn't enough to bring them together, for the reasons we said before. And the pasuk begs for the question: how did Leah know this? Sheyesh tam mugdim lozeh b'kriyas shem Reuven. So therefore, there must be another reason, also something more about why she called him Reuven. Hamavar maloser shel haben, which brings out that in this case, Reuven is the son that will bring them together. Because you can see the difference between Reuven and Esav, which explains why she was so certain that Yaakov would love her because of Reuven. So that's why Rashi brings this pshat, because this pshat explains why she was certain that she would be proud of Reuven, Yaakov would be proud of Reuven, and therefore he would be the catalyst that would bring Yaakov and Leah together. Well, Pisa Yuvan, Mashe Hetik Rashi, Medivra Leah, Esmalosa Shal Reuven Binin Abachaira, which explains why Rashi says from the words of Leah the qualities of Reuven in regards to Bechaira, Vezei Loi Mochra, that he did not sell the Bechaira, even though the Gemara does not say that. The Loi Maila Acheres, and she only points out this quality and not the other ones. Ki Bezem Mudgish Ha'ilui Shaloi Behesum Ba'ashlom Aletoichen Dibri Leia Ba'akosub. Because this emphasizes the reason and the important part of what Leia was trying to bring out, and therefore that will bring Leia and Yaakov together. Hainu inyanoi lodas ben becher liYaakov. In other words, that the point was that she gave birth to the oldest born son of Yaakov, shayideze yevani ishi, which will lead to Yaakov loving her liyais ki ba'isi inyan atzmai, because it's over this very issue, habecheira, which is the fact that he's the firstborn, ha'isagam alos shalaben, that is also what makes him special. That was what makes Reuven special. He's the firstborn. Vezeh loy mochra, and he did not sell away his firstborn rights. Shabachayda liyayz b'nai yarishu shal Yaakov, he did, hu dover hachabev Yaakov limayid. The fact that he was the firstborn of Yaakov was very, very special to Reuven, and that he clung to that, and he would not think of selling it as Esav did sell. But in other words, she was bringing out that Reuven, who was the firstborn to Yaakov, held that very dear, and therefore that is a closeness between Reuven and Yaakov, which of course will lead to a closeness between Yaakov and Leah as well. Umamshich, and he continues, v'le'irir olav, and also he did not hold it against Yosef that he got a v'le'irir shle'irir olav v'le'shmefakish le'tzim and abayir. Not only did he not complain about it or hold it against him, but he also wanted to save him from the pit. Shebazem avur the afal pisha Yaakov oev es Rachel umimena rotzel lahoylid bonim. That explains that even though Yaakov loved Rachel more, and that's who he wanted to be the mother, that's who he wanted his children with. Kol makim kivin shenoylid leleya ben nayla kozeh. Still, because Leah had the firstborn son, even though he was the eldest born son of Yaakov, and this status as the firstborn son of Yaakov is very dear to him. Even though it was so special to him to be the firstborn, when Yaakov decided that he wanted to take it away from him, and he gave it to Rachel's son, Yosef, Reuven did not hold it against Rachel's son, Yosef, because Yosef was more beloved to Yaakov than all the other sons. Not only was he more beloved, not only did he not hold it against Yosef, he also saved him, as you would, although one could have expected that maybe he wouldn't be the first one to defend him, because, you know, he's hurt that it was taken away from him, the firstborn. And because of this great, these great qualities of her firstborn son, all three reasons that she gave for why Reuven was special, he was the firstborn, and that was very, very special to him, to be close to Yaakov and to be Yaakov's firstborn son. And even though it was so dear to him, when Yaakov decided that he was going to take it away, he didn't hold it against Yosef. And not only did he hold it against Yosef, he even saved him from the bayir. And therefore, because of this special behavior of Reuven, that he behaved so in such an exemplary fashion towards Yaakov and what Yaakov considered to be important, therefore Leah knew that Yaakov would be proud of him and would be happy with him. And therefore, because she has such a great son, therefore Yaakov would be happy and come closer to Leah as well. Therefore, Rashi doesn't go the way the Gemara does, which makes the selling of the Bechira secondary to the fact that he didn't hate him over it. The way in which the Bechira was sold, with his will or against his will, it was more about the Bechira and Reuven's cherishing of that Bechira. That's why Rashi makes that the emphasis. And because of this, it also explains Mashalot Herich Lefarit Goydel HaGreyes Shal Ben Chami, why Leah did not have to point out the faults of Esav in this matter. She'irer al Bechira Shal Yaakov, that he did complain or hold it against Yaakov and he hated Yaakov, but that he wanted to kill him as well. Mikivan, Rashi doesn't have to point it out. Mikivan shekavanose kani ladgish goydel malose shobani. Her real objective here was to point out how dear and how special Reuven is. It doesn't matter so much about Esav, lachriach sheyevani ishi, which would lead her to the conclusion that Yaakov would love her because of him. But like b'midase ahavchish ben chami, she had no need to continue to point out the difference between Reuven and Esav. V'alpizei yumtuk mashkosav Rashi, and based on this, we'll understand what Rashi says. Rabbeinu pirshu, our teachers, our sages explained. V'loy omru Rabbeinu, and not our sages said, or which he would normally say. Ki ein kavanas Rashi lishlo latam hamafurish b'kosav, because Rashi is not giving an alternative explanation to the reason that is given in the kosav, the pasuk why she named him Reuven. Ki im lefarshay, it just furthers the explanation of why she was so certain that Yaakov would love her because of this. So in other words, she's just elaborating. Rashi is just elaborating on the reason given in the pasuk by Leah. Lefarish l'taretz adarus bir, only to explain and answer that which is needs further explanation in her reasoning. Betam shebekos eich shebavade al yedei ulados Reuven yevan ishi. How did she know so certainly that Yaakov would love her more because of Reuven? Valzem evi rabbeinu pirshu. So he says our teachers explained it. Sheamru reuma beimini lebein chami, that the reason she was so certain was because look at the marked difference between Reuven and Esav in regards Shneilu ben Naila Kanal, that she had such a special son in the context of Bechira, in regards to Bechira and how he related to Yaakov. Miyena shel Teira shebepirus Rashi. a Hasidic concept in that can be brought out from this Rashi. Matzino hefresh bein kriyas shemus hashvatim lekriyas shemus haovis. We find a difference in the way the shvatim were called by their names and the calling of the names of the ovis, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. One difference is hashemus shel hashvatim nitnu al yedei emois. The names of the shvatim were given by their mothers, Mashenken hashemus shel haovis, Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Whereas the names of the Ovis, at least Yitzchak and Yaakov, we don't know about Avram, but Yitzchak and Yaakov were named by either by Hashem, according to one pshat, or by their father. Beis, b'kol echad ma'ashvatim nitten tam al shem shenikrabai. In regards to each one of the shvatim, it gives a reason, the Torah states a reason why they were called by that name. Mashenkim b'shemes ha'ovis, whereas by the names of the Ovis, it doesn't explicitly give a reason that they were called this name because of this, even though there are allusions to it, that Yitzchak, Tzchoik, and so on, but it doesn't say Al-Kain Karashma Yitzchak, whereas that's why, whereas by the Shvatim, it does say. The Yuvin says, so to explain the difference between the Levira Binyan Hashem. To explain this, we have to first explain the name, what a name is. Yadua shashema shikra loy eina haskoma ba'alma, that when a person is called by a name, it's not just, we decided to call him by this name. It's not just a random thing that people decide and that's how it happens. That's what happens. Ela yesh shaychus mamish la shem shel etzem adaber. But rather, there is a real connection, an integral connection between the name that a person is given and the name and the person itself or the thing itself. Elo she'ein Hashem is yachas la neshama k'shi la'atzma, but a name of a person does not relate to the neshama of the person, although of course it's connected to the essence of the person, which means of course the neshama, but it's not the neshama as it stands alone. Sharei neshama atzma kedem boyel beguf ein nekras b'shem klal, because the neshama before it enters into the body doesn't have a name at all. Ki'im, so therefore when is the name relevant? Ki'im k'shebo l'hachis ha'guf. The name represents the neshama only as it is within the guf. Hashem mekasher ha'neshama b'guf, that the name connects the neshama to the guf. Achayis ha'nemshechus ma'neshama u'machaya ha'guf hi'neshreses ba'ashem. And the energy that comes from the neshama and gives life to the guf is rooted in the name, as the Likut HaTorah says. Omnom be'inyan Hashem gufa, but in regards to the name itself, shal yidei ham shachas achayis beguf, yesh beis v'chinas. There are two ways in which the name affects the ham shachas achayis beguf. There are two inyanim in this. Aleph, one is kamayshu upayel klolus iskasher shalah neshama ba'guf, as it affects the general connection between the neshama and the guf, al derech shema min adam. Like, let's say, when we know that the words, the names of things that they're called in the Torah, are the letters that carry the chayas. So the humankind, which is called by the name Adam, that's a very general connection between the neshama and the guf of humankind. Then there's beis, kamayshu ba begili bebchinas siyur prati b'chol guf v'guf, as it comes, as it's revealed within each individual body or each individual person. Lefi erkei, according to the status and the level and so on of that particular person. Hashem HaProti Sheyesh L'chol Echad, therefore that is carried by the personal name that each person has. So there is the name which defines and connects the general neshama to the guf for all of humankind, and then there is each individual in their particular and their personal expression of their neshama in their guf, which is different for each person. V'hine mevur b'Torah, it's explained in Torah, the b'chinas Ha'ava is yeshna b'chol zman b'chol adam. Ki hinei ein koyrim avas el l'shloisha. It says that the the level of avos. There is a little bit of the avos that is felt, that is there within every Jew, because we know that we don't. There is only three, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which are called the avos, the patriarchs, only them, and that's because they are felt, they are there, they influence every single Jew. And the avos, their powers and their influence is the inheritance of every single yid and every generation. But other tzaddikim, like let's say the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on, yesh lo chadam she'ein by klal mebchinas u'madreges elu. There could be people that have no connection at all to Reuven or to any other of the Shvatim, only to one. Mashenge bechinas avos tzarich liyaz b'chol adam, whereas the avos, some influence from the avos has to be found in every single Jew, because they are the source of every neshamas Yisrael, of every single Jew, and therefore there is influence from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov found within every single Jew, not necessarily so for any of the other tzaddikim or any of the other shvatim of Reuven, Shimon. There are people that come from Reuven, they may be connected. People that come from Levi, they are not connected necessarily to Reuven. What we understand from this is that hefresh bein bechinas ha'avos lebechinas ha'shvatim hu, that the difference between the avos and the shvatim is lo yirak b'zeh asher bechinas ha'avos shel kol gimel ha'avos yeshna b'chol echad min b'nei Yisrael. Not only the fact that there is something from each one of the avos within every Jew, mashenki bechinas ha'shvatim, whereas by the shvatim, as we said before, she'ena machrachas li is b'chol echad, that it doesn't have to be necessarily some influence from from all the shvatim and every Jew. Ki'im bechinas shevet shaloi, let's say in people that descend from that person shevet, from Reuven shevet, there would be an influence of Reuven, but people from Shimon shevet don't have any influence from Reuven. So it's not only that. But that there is more than that. That because the avos are the source and root of every single neshama of Yidden, this thing about the avos, which is found in every Jew, is a very essential part of who the Jew is. That this is what makes him a part of Klal Yisrael. V'zuhi b'chinas klal shebam mishtabim kol b'nei Yisrael. And that it is this nekuda, it is this influence from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which is found within every Jew, which is what binds all the Yidden together. That's in that way we are all equal. All Yidden are equal because we all come from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We all have an influence within ourselves from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avol bechinas hashvatim shobi Yisrael, but the influence from each individual shevet within each individual Jew that happens to be connected to that shevet. Haynu gam bechinas shevet prati shaloi, even if you do belong to that particular shevet, he bechinas haba. Bishalkus b'bnei Yisrael is something that is very different for each yid. And that is what defines the specific type of yid that this person has. Or otherwise said, that is what defines the type of avodah, the specific avodah which is special to this yid. That comes from the fact that it comes from this shevet or that shevet and so on. And its connection to the other tzaddikim and so on, which are particular to this person. But the connection that comes from the avos is what binds all Yidden together and what is the essence of every Yid, what makes us all the same. Valpiza efshaloimar. And based on this we could say, ha-hefresh shebein, shemes avos ha-shem efshalias, ha-hefresh shebein shmeis ha-avos ha-shmeis ha-shvatim. Based on this, we can understand the difference between the names of the Avos and the names of the Shvatim, why they're different. Shemus HaAvos HaMshach HaKlal Shebechol Echad MeYisrael, the names of the Avos, which is what brings down this very essential the point within every Yid. B'Shemus HaShvatim Haynu HaMshach HaBebchinus B'Abba B'Bchinus Tzir Prati, the name of the Shvatim comes in a very specific and specific to each Jew differently. B'Hesem L'Mahusa HaPrati Shekol Echad, in accordance with the particular character of that person. U'Bekimish HaShemus Elu Inyonam Hischalkus HaMshach HaLefi B'Chinus V'Tziurim Pratim. And since these names express the specifics of how their own personal life is, that's why each name of the Shevet of the Shvatim, the Torah expresses a reason why they were named in this way, because it speaks to a specific thing of why that name came. Just like the names of the Shvatim as they relate to the rest of the Yidden are specific to each Yid on his own. It describes something specific to that Yid. Whereas, of course, the Avos, going back before we start this, whereas the Avos, their names they speak of the general thrust of being a Yid, what the essence of being a Yid is. So it's not specific to any individual Yid. All Yidden share that in common. So therefore, by saying therefore somebody was called this way, that is describing something very specific and special and particular. Whereas the names of the Avos are very general, and to talk about the overall status of a Yid, so it doesn't have to say, therefore they were called this way. Which is also the reason why the names of the Shvatim were given by the mothers. Yidua hefresh bein av le'em b'shaychus le'ilodas haben. We know the difference between a father and a mother in regards to the birth of a child. She'etzem metzius haben u'metibus ha'av, that the essential metzius existence of the child comes from the father. V'izgalusei v'izchalkus b'tzir shol prote evarim, but how that essential how the essential life of the child gets developed into the particulars of the body and so on, how it gets divided, that is of course contributed by the mother. That happens through the the gestation during the 9 months in the mother. And the difference is also after the child is born, also the connection between the father and the son and the mother and the son. The connection between the inner connection between the father and the son is more essential. Ulam begilui, but on what's manifest more, murgash yaser akishva gidav shalaim la ben. You see a closer connection between a mother and a child. That's why Chachma and Bina are called Av Eim Shalom Midas. Chachma is called the father of the Midas, and Bina is called the mother of the Midas. Ki Chachma, he nekudas ha-seichel, because Chachma is the essence of the seichel. Bechinas ha-av Shalom Midas, and that's why that's the father of the Midas. Or Bina, he has sagas shabab b'pratim. Bina means as you analyze and try to explain and analyze the etzem haseichel, and as it comes into details, which is the mother of the midas. Well, that is a moving gam kam benigelo shvatim, and the same is true also here for the shvatim. She is chalkus hashvatim lepratim shainim bepashtus ba yidei mois rochav aleya, that the divisions, the differences between the shvatim, how one son is different than the other, that came from the mothers, from Rachel and Leah, and so on. And therefore, the names were given by them as well, because the names of the Shvatim describe specifics about the child. And where do the specifics come from? From the mother. In other words, the names which carry the differences between the different types of Yidden and as their Avodah is different, that was called by the mother, because that is who contributes the differences, the ischalkos, from one to the other. But we still have to understand. The reasons for the names given, as explained in our parsha, the names that are given to the Shvatim by their mothers, as explained in the pasuk, doesn't seem to have anything to do with the avoda of the children of the Shvatim. It has Ella Kiim Hashaycha Shalem Leimarsha Karu Shem Zeh. Rather, the names seem to describe the connection between the mother and the child, or the mother and her husband, and so on. Kira Hashem Ba'anyi, like Leah said, Hashem has seen my pain, ki ata yevani, because now my husband will love me. In other words, that she was giving a name which didn't describe Reuven's future, but rather it described her connection to this. Kishama Hashem kisnua noichi, or in the case of Shimon, Hashem heard that I was hated, and so on. The name seemed to describe the mother's relationship with her son or with the father, and so on. Malachim mefarish Rashi. That's why Rashi explains b'shem arishon Reuven, right at the beginning by the first name Reuven. Menalilma lakol shvatim, and from there we also understand for the rest of the shvatim. He says pirshu rabbeinu. Our teachers explained. Amra Reuma ben Bni leben Chami. See the difference between my son and Esav. Haino shashaychas he loy rak la'em, that the connection is not only to her. She wasn't only describing things about herself and her husband. Kima beikela ben anikr b'shem zeh, but rather she was taka describing something that relates to Reuven. See the difference between my son and the other son. Because of the way he carried on his life. So therefore Rashi is telling us right away that it might seem that it's describing only something between the mother and the husband, but it really is describing about the son himself, and that is what the name is describing, the Aveda, the future of the son. And from this we know that it was so also by all the other children. Based on this, we can also bring an allusion, a remez. Perhaps we can say this: the connection between Parsha Vayetze to Tes Kislev, which is Yom Holedes V'Yom Hiluldes Shel Kvod Kedushas Moran Tzoi, which is the birthday and the yahrzeit of the Mittel Rebbe, Shechal Kama Pam B'Shavua the Parsha Vayetze, that comes out very often, many times in the week of Vayetze, meaning the week before Shabbos Parsha Vayetze, or sometimes it comes out in the days close to Parsha Vayetze, Kibishon Azul, like in that year, which came out after Shabbos, which means Umizborchem and Shabbos Parsha Vayetze, that Tes Kislev received its bracha from the Shabbos before, which was Parsha Vayetze, and we know that the rest of the week is blessed from the Shabbos before. So therefore, that year, it was Parsha Vayetze that gave its blessing afterwards to Tes Kislev, which came out the week following. What's the connection? Ki mevur hahefesh bein admura zaken lemurim tzoi. The connection between this and the Tes Kislev is, we know that there is a difference between the Alter Rebbe and the Mittel Rebbe, as explained, that admura zaken hu inyan sviras hachachma. The Alter Rebbe was like the Sfiras HaChochmah, that he said things on the Kuda. He said a concept in a very short way, and that was the idea which later had to be expanded and explained. Whereas Admur Amtsayu Sfiras HaBina, the Mittel Rebbe was more like Sfiras HaBina, Hainu K'moisha Agilu Bo B'Pchines Protius U'Bispashlus, like the initial idea now comes to is revealed in all its, of its details and with great, you know, and great expansiveness. There's many details, and it goes on and on to explain the one point. And as we know, that through the Mittel Rebbe, Chassidus was revealed in a tremendous way. There was pages and pages and hours of Mamorim that the Mittel Rebbe said. In a way that it was in a very, very broad way, as was said, it's like the wideness of the river. It flowed at a tremendous power with tremendous detail and so on. Like Bina, v'hu dugmas inyan kriyas Hashemes v'shvatim hanal, which is similar to the way the Shvatim were named, that it was focused on the details of each one, each specific detail of each specific child. U'mitzad esrach was the Bina nasa shevet loshnam shocha. So that's the connection between Tes Kislev, which was the Mittler Rebbe, and Vayetze, which was the naming of the Shvatim, because that expresses the same idea, Bina expanding and talking about the details of each child. Mitzad Yisrach was the Bina, because of this expansiveness of Bina, Nasa Shevet Loshanam Shocha, we now have another meaning of the word Shevet, which means to draw down. Shenim Shechagil Gam Lamata, that this expansiveness is also drawn down lower, which was what the Mittel Rebbe expressed his desire. He said that this is what he would want. As we know, his phrase that he said, that when two young alike meet together, they should be discussing Arik and Atik, which is the idea of bringing down Hafatzah Samayonis, that even two people meet in the street, they're discussing Chassidus over there too. Okay, through this we will be Zeicha to the coming of Mashiach, but Karim Mamish speedily in our days.